in you, Andy said. Do you believe that this morning? Amen. Hallelujah. And if Jesus is living, I tell you, there's so much life. And I believe God wants us to know that resurrection power in our lives today and every day. And if you wanted to turn with me, if you've got your Bibles, to Philippians chapter 3, verse 10, we're going to start there. There's a few scriptures we're going to be looking at this morning. And I think there's some things that God wants to say to us today. And Andy said something earlier as well. He said that, you know, we're called to be victors in God. I believe that sometimes some of us live as victims, not victors. You know, we need to be victors in God. We need to live victorious in God. As we live in the resurrection power, we begin to see what it is to live victoriously in God. And we need to know that resurrection power. Philippians 3, verse 10, Paul says this. He said, that I might know him and the power of his resurrection. He didn't just want to know Jesus. He wanted to know him and the resurrection, but not just the resurrection. He wanted to know the power of the resurrection of Christ. I tell you, there is great power in Jesus. And when we see what happened at the tomb, we see the power of Christ overcoming what no one else could overcome, sin and death defeated. He rose victoriously. And Paul said, I want to know him more. Now, we want to know lots of things in life. There's lots of things we know, and we just got to go onto Google and find out a few things. But do we really want to know Jesus more? Amen. Do we want to know his power more at work in our lives? Do you want to know the power of his resurrection in our lives, in the church today, in this world today, that they would know him? And that was the desire of Paul's heart, that I might know him. I want to know Jesus more. He's not dead, he's alive. And we know a living God. And I want to know his power of his resurrection. Praise God. And this morning, that's our prayers, that we'd know him. Acts 4 verse 33 said, the apostles testified powerfully to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and God's great blessing was upon them all. In other words, the apostles testified that Jesus was alive. They went around telling people that Jesus was alive. They didn't just tell people, but they showed them by their lifestyles. Their lives were living testimonies that Jesus was alive. Let your life be a living testimony that Christ is alive. Let it be a living testimony that he's dead. Let it be a living testimony that he's alive and he's alive in you. If your life has been changed by God, it's a living testimony. Paul's life, he was a persecutor of the Christians. He put them in prison. He chased after them. He just wanted them down. But then Jesus knocked him down and then raised him up. And he became an ambassador for Christ and began to be a testimony of the resurrection of Christ. People couldn't understand it when Paul was coming to town, whether he was going to persecute them or tell them about Jesus. But his life was a living testimony. His life was changed by the resurrection of Jesus Christ. I tell you, God's power changes lives. We are not the same today because of Jesus. And as we live in it, you won't be the same tomorrow or the day after, because he changes us from one degree to the next. He's still changing me. So, you know, when you think that our pastor's not very perfect, you know, you've got these faults, but it's all right, because neither are you. But God's making us more like him. He's changing us, and we're in that journey together. And that's part of the joys of being part of the family of God, is that we're growing together. We're changing together. As we're praying this morning, I think one of the things Karen was praying was that God would change us. We've come to be changed by God, not just to have a good time in God, but God would change us. And that's our prayer. But the power of the resurrection, it changes us. See, they testified of the power of the resurrection. Lives were powerfully changed by the testimonies of Christ is alive. Acts 17:32 says, when they heard Paul speak about the resurrection of the dead, some laughed in contempt, but others said, we want to hear more. We want to hear more about this later. Tell us more. See, the resurrection, when you start telling people Jesus is alive, when you tell your neighbors, he's risen today, and they give you a funny look, and they may mock and sneer and even laugh at you. People will laugh when we tell them Jesus Christ is alive. He said that when Paul preached about it, people laughed at him. But there were others who said, I want to know more. You know, we can laugh. You may laugh at preachers. You may laugh. People may laugh at you because you believe Jesus Christ is alive. But there'll always be somebody else who says, tell me more. I want to know more about Jesus Christ. If he rose from the dead, there must be something pretty amazing about him. Something majestic, something incredible about Jesus. Tell me more about him. And this morning I pray that we'd have that hunger in our hearts, that our ears would be so hungry to hear more. Can your ears be hungry? Well, they can now. Nothing's impossible for God. But they'll be desperate to hear more of Jesus. Tell me more about Jesus. And I hear this morning, I want to just quite simply talk about Jesus today and the power of him. Let's go back to the gospel accounts. We went back to them, and we haven't got time this morning to go through Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John and their accounts of Jesus rising from the dead. So I'm going to try and bring them together. But read about them today. If you don't know what to do today, read about the accounts and just see the amazement of the gospel accounts. But it says that Jesus was put in the place in the tomb on the Good Friday when he died. We celebrate his crucifixion, him dying for us, and we can celebrate him dying for us in that what he did. We don't need to weep because he rose again. But Jesus died, and they buried him in the tomb. They took him and took him to the tomb. They anointed him with the oil and the spices as they buried him in that tomb. Then Sabbath came, the Saturday came, and nobody worked on the Sabbath. But then we see on Sunday morning, early hours of the morning, we see Mary Magdalene. And she woke up, whether it said there was an earthquake that occurred when the stone was rolled away. I mean, it's a tremendous event. But it says that she woke before it was even light. I don't know if anybody woke up this morning before the sun rose. But she woke before it was even light. And all that was on her mind was, I've got to get to the tomb. I've got to get to Jesus. Mary Magdalene, her life was, before she knew Jesus, her life was riddled with the demonic. She was somebody that Jesus cast out 7 demons from her life. And if anybody's had any experience of any demons in their life, you'll know that they're filthy, they're vile, they're destructive. And I tell you, they're very much around us today, in this world today. And she was riddled with demons in her life. 7 demons that Jesus cast out of her life. Her life was tormented by these demons. But Jesus set her free. Jesus totally set her free. And because of that in her life, we see she was so dedicated to Jesus. I love it, when I see people's lives just so full out for God because of what he's done for them. She said, I was bound, but Jesus Christ set me free. Where they set to destroy her, and she probably destroyed many other people's lives by what was going on in her life because of the destructive nature of the demons in her life. But Jesus set her totally free, and now she was sold out for Jesus. And we see this morning, early hours of the morning, she just wants to get to this tomb. She wants to be with Jesus, although he died. And in her mind, she's probably still thinking, he's dead. But she needed to be near Jesus. Being near him would console her. She was in her grief. She wanted to be comforted just by being near Jesus. She wanted to continue to serve him, apply some more spices and ointment to him. And it says, as they went, Mary and another Mary, as they went, they were thinking in their mind, how are we going to get this stone away? I mean, they wouldn't have had the strength to do it. And you notice about Mary, it's one of the things I love about her. She was so determined. She didn't let anything stop her. I don't know how we're going to get the stone away, but we've got to get to this tomb. We've got to get to the body of Jesus. I just love it. When we see people just so serving God, and I've met ladies just like Mary in my life, just wanting to give up everything just for Jesus. Let her be an example to us. Anyway, she got to the tomb, and when she got to the tomb, she noticed that the stone was rolled away. I mean, this was a huge stone. This was a heavy stone. I mean, it says in Matthew that the guards, I mean, that the chief priest had put guards around the stone in case the disciples were going to come and take the body of Jesus away. They put these guards around it. And it says that the angel came and an earthquake covered the earth. It just began to shake the earth where the tomb was. And an angel shone and this moved this stone away. And it says the guards, they became trembling. These muscular men, you can just imagine them standing at the guard tomb. And they began to tremble with the earthquake as these angels began to shone the light and move this tomb away. It said they were trembled as dead men. In other words, their faces went pale at what was happening right now. And when they got back, they went and told this is interesting, because they went back and they told the chief priests of what had happened. They testified of the resurrection to the chief priests. Somebody had taken the body of Jesus. The stone had been moved away. An angel had come. They testified this to the chief priests. They had a testimony. And the chief priest said to them, you can't be telling people this. And it said they gave them money and persuaded them with money to not tell people that Jesus had risen from the dead. And instead, they were to tell and spread lies. They had a testimony, and so instead, they were bought by money. They were influenced, so influenced by money that they didn't, instead of talking of the testimony of what had happened at the tomb, they spread lies. And I tell you, those lies are still being spread today, that Jesus is dead. But nobody's found the body of Jesus. Historians will tell you, nobody, people have tried, and no one can find the body of Jesus. Why? Because he is risen. They may have claimed to find the ark and find all kinds of things, but they've not found the body of Jesus. And they won't, because he is risen. But what's interesting, what I find interesting, when Mary came to the tomb, it says she saw the tomb was empty. She ran back to Peter and John, the disciples, and told them, Peter and John, they run to the tomb. They get to the tomb as well. And it says John outran Peter. And I find that quite humorous, that he has to announce that I beat Peter to the tomb. He raced him and I beat him there. So whether there's some competitive spirit going on there, I don't know. But he beat him there and he looked. He didn't wait for Peter, but he just had to see, is Jesus really gone? And he peered into the tomb. There was no body, but he said he saw the grave clothes lying there at the tomb. And outside the tomb, we see this account of Mary, and where she's there. It says she's weeping that the body of Jesus is gone. And an angel appears to Mary and says to Mary, why are you looking for the dead among the living? Why are you looking for the dead among the living? He's not dead, but he's alive. And I believe that God was speaking to me and was saying to me, he said, you know, sometimes that we go to Jesus and we see that he go to the place of the cross and we stay and remain at the cross, but Jesus is not at the cross, he's living. And sometimes we can go to the tombs in life and we go to a place where the dead are, but they're not, they're risen. You know, when I die, or when Jesus comes again and my body goes to the grave, whatever happens to it, I give you permission, you don't have to come to my graveside. Because I'm not going to be there. I'm going to be with Jesus. Don't feel guilty for not going to my grave. So I'm not going to be there because I'll be with Jesus. And the angel was saying, don't come here. What are you doing around the tomb? Jesus isn't here. He's risen. You know, and that's the same testimony for you and I when we get this revelation that if we know Jesus Christ, that when he comes again or when we die, we'll be with him in glory. We're not going to be in that grave place. We'll be with him. We're not there. Why are you around the dead? But Jesus is the God of the living. Jesus said, I am the resurrection and life. He who believes in me, even though he dies, he shall live. That's you and I. If we believe in Jesus, we have a relationship with him. Even when we die, we're going to live. And he wants our focus to be on him who's alive. Did you notice whenever Jesus rose anyone from the dead, he spoke to them not as though they were dead, but as though they were alive. When he came to the procession out of Nain, when they're carrying the widow's son in that coffin, what did he say to it? He spoke to he touched the coffin and he said, young man, and this guy died, he said, young man, arise. He spoke to him, although he was dead, he spoke to him as though he was alive. When Lazarus was in the tomb, what did he do? Lazarus, come forth. He spoke to him as though he was alive. When he went to the little girl who was lying in the bed, she died. He told them, she's asleep, she's not dead. And she clearly died. And then he said, child, arise. He speaks. You know, sometimes we look and we live in a place of the tomb where the dead places are. And God says, calling us out of the dead places, calling us out of the grave into the place of the life. As Christians, we're not called to dwell in the graveside. We're called to dwell in the resurrected side with Christ, alive with him. I believe the resurrection power causes you out of the places of death. God is calling us out of those places of death. It calls you out of a hard place. The tomb was a hard, rocky place. And sometimes we face hard, rocky places in our life. We face hard things in our life, hard, difficult times. But you know, before there's got to be a resurrection, there's always got to be a death, isn't there? There's got to be some kind of suffering. There's got to be a death in our lives. And God, you want to be raised with Christ, then we've got to die with Christ. You've got to die with him. The Bible says, doesn't it? It says, take up your cross and follow me. He who loses life for my sake will find it. We've got to die to the things of the past so we can live with Christ. God wants us to be identified with him, not only in his death, but more so in his resurrection and his life. And he's calling you out of the hard places. He's calling you out of the places of death. He's calling you to a place of life as Christians. He's calling us out of the world and into his kingdom. Calling out of the ways of this world and into his kingdom. The world brings forth death because the world is just so full of sin. We sung we sung about the sting of death today. Let me just read to you the passage in 1 Corinthians 15. Verse 54 says, when this perishable will have put on the imperishable and the mortal will have put on the immortality, then will come about saying that it is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is your victory? O death, where is your sting? The sting of death is sin, and the power of sin is the law. Jesus, when he died on the cross, death was swallowed up. I love that word. It was just swallowed up. There was no death. It doesn't exist anymore, as far as I'm concerned. Death was swallowed up in victory. Swallowed up. The sin of death is the sting of death is sin. And sin is so rampant in this world. And when we live in a life of sin, we're living in a place of death. And God is calling us out of a place of sinful living into a place of life, of holiness in him. Why? Because there is life in that place. Where are you living? Are you living in the tomb or are you living with Jesus in the light? When Mary was there, She was looking for Jesus. She couldn't find him anywhere. And it says that she began to weep and she saw what she thought was the gardener, but it was Jesus around the tomb. And she said, where have you put him? Tell me where you put him and I'll take him away. I mean, again, there's a determination. She believed that she could pick up the body of Jesus and carry him away. She would find a way. But she says, you know, where have you put him? And Jesus says, why are you weeping? Who are you looking for? Who are you seeking? And then he said, Mary. And as soon as he said, Mary, something in her changed. She was weeping. She was grieving. She was clinging on to Jesus with her life. And she was weeping. And he said, Mary. And as soon as he called her name, something in her just probably this all of a sudden this overwhelming sense of death just dropped and life began to bubble up within her. Hope began to bubble up. Purpose began to bubble up. She began to see light again where there was darkness. As Jesus called out her name, Mary, and she turned to him and said, Rabboni, which means master or teacher. She began to see, you're alive, Jesus. You're right here before me. You're not a gardener. It's you, Jesus. And I tell you, Jesus Christ calls our name. And when he calls our name, something within us should stir and begin to say, Jesus, Master, Lord. Jesus is calling us forth. When he called Lazarus, he said, Lazarus. He called him forth. Lazarus, come forth. God is calling us forth from death into life. He calls your name. And hear him calling your name today. And when God speaks, he causes something to happen within your innermost being. Praise God. I believe he's speaking to people here today. The Holy Spirit is moving. When the men were on the road to Emmaus, Jesus kind of joined them on their conversation. And maybe we should try that when people are on the way talking and just kind of join in the conversation and begin to talk about Jesus, begin to talk about the Word of God. Anyway, he began to talk to them. They didn't recognize it was Jesus. But when they had communion together, and then their eyes were open, and they saw it was Jesus. And then they said, did our hearts not burn within us as he spoke to us on the road? You know, when God begins to speak, he begins to set a fire within you. That's resurrection power. When God's word begins to speak, when he begins to call your name, when you hear his voice, when you begin to read the words of the scripture and the Spirit of God begins to speak to you, have you experienced that in your life? All of a sudden, this fire begins to burn within you and this life begins to burn within you. And he said, did we not burn within us as we heard him speak? You see, if you want to have resurrection power, then we need to get into the word. We need to be listening to the voice of Jesus and let him speak. And I know so many of you know that Lee is and Jack here are studying at the Bible College, and I just try and meet with Lee every now and then. But Lee will just tell me all these different scriptures that he's reading. And just love hearing him talk about the life. Sorry, Lee, I'm pointing you out here. But just hearing the life. But I've seen him come alive. It's the Word of God. And I tell you, the word of God will set you on fire. And it's not just Lee. I know there's many others here as well. There's a listening here. You talk about Jesus. And I tell you, that's resurrection power. That's you being called to resurrection power. But if you've got your ears covered and you're not listening, then you're going to miss out. You're remaining. He's calling you out of the tomb into the light. He's calling you out of darkness, those dark places. He's calling you out of the worldly living to living into holiness and to the light and the glory of God, into the kingdom of God, to seek after him. The other thing I just wanted to mention this morning, it says that when Peter and John, they looked into the tomb, and when they looked and they peered around, they said they saw his grave clothes. There was no body, but the grave clothes were there, and it says that the head cloth was folded up. And I couldn't get this out of my mind. And I'm thinking, for many of us, you probably read that, and we just thought, well, and I thought, God, are you trying to tell me something here? I thought God was saying that not only are we called out of a place of death, but also called to remove the wrappings of death around us. God is calling us to remove the wrappings of death around us. When Lazarus came out of the tomb, what did Jesus say? He said, loose him. Loose him. He was in those grave clothes. Jesus doesn't want us to associate with death in any way. The things around us, the cords of death around us, the things that tie us. And some of us, we live in the things and the mistakes we've made of the past. And God is calling us out of that. And I love Mary. You know, Jesus was calling her. She was in a place of grief. And then Jesus called her out of that into a place of living, of life. What are the wrappings of death around you? Because death brings destruction. It destroys your life. There's no hope there. But Jesus brings life, hope, everlasting joy. He brings revelation. He brings that excitement that comes from heaven. Remove the wrappings of death. You never see a butterfly flying around with its cocoon still on it. It would just weigh it down, wouldn't it? When the caterpillar turns into the butterfly, it begins to soar, it begins to fly. When you and I are saved in Jesus Christ, we're called to soar in him. That's why I've been encouraging us over the weeks, and others as well, begin to set your mind on things above. We're seated in heavenly places. God wants us to soar with him, with wings on eagles, to new perspective, to new places, and to continue to rise with him. Rise above the tombs, rise above death, rise above sin, rise above the things of this world, rise above the earthly concepts around us, rise above the confusions around us, rise above the lies and the deceit around us, rise above the demonic attacks around us, rise above it. God calls us to rise with him. Hallelujah. Jesus rose. It says the grave clothes, he left them there. I tell you, we got to leave the things behind. We got to put off the old nature, put off the malice, put off the lust, put off the things that we used to live. Some of us, we walk around, we say, Jesus is in my life, yet we live a life that's no different. We still do the things we used to do, and then Holy Spirit convicts us, and yet we love it too much, and we can't let go of it, and we continue to walk around in the wrappings of death. And the sin of death is the sting, which is still in our lives. And Jesus says he's removed that sting, so to remove it from your life. Don't let it be a part of your life any longer. Jesus rose victoriously. It says the grave clothes, they would not hold him there. The grave would not hold him. The cross did not hold him. Our sins could not hold him down. Death itself could not hold him. The devil could not hold him. Hell could not hold him. He rose victoriously above all the things that so many people get fearful about in life. And Jesus rose victoriously above it all. Gloriously above it all. And if he can rise above that, then he can cause you to rise in your life. He can rise in your life. He can rise above the circumstances and the things in your life that have troubled you. He can cause you to rise above it. Praise God. Sin is vanquished. He's triumphed over the grave. For you and for me, God has called us to live a resurrected life. When Jesus died on the cross, we see this picture of resurrection happening. Jesus died, it said the veil of the temple was torn in two, and an earthquake hit the earth. Remember, imagine the earth trembling. And then it says in Matthew 27 that the saints began to rise. Those who were dead began to rise and began to walk around the earth telling their testimony. God had risen people from the dead even when he died at the cross. Victory happened at the cross. Tremendous. Can you see the power of the resurrection that was erupting? God wants that same power to erupt within us. Oh, that we would know the power of his resurrection. Romans 8 verse 6 verse 5 says, if we have become united with him in the likeness of his death, certainly we shall also be in the likeness of his resurrection. But if the Spirit who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he who raised Christ Jesus from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies. That's talking about now. Through his Spirit who dwells in you. You know, Smith Wigglesworth, there are many people who have testified of people who've raised the dead. And I've met a number of people in my own life, you know, just have had testimonies or witnesses of people who raised the dead. One was a nurse who came on a mission with when we were in Great York. Jesus came to that coffin and he saw that procession going by. It said the widow, her husband obviously had died, and all that was left was her son who had died. He was the source of income for her future, and now he'd gone. She had a very grave future ahead of her. And it says that Jesus saw her and he had compassion. Compassion. Something within him broke. And that's when he reached over and he said, young man, arise. And all of a sudden, everything changed. This lady's future changed. This man's future changed. Their history changed in name because of what Jesus Christ had done as he was moved with compassion. I heard a story of Smith Wigglesworth. He saw a woman with a tumor, and he said, it broke me up. And he saw she had a young daughter, and the young girl led her to the bedside. And he said, she's so full of compassion within him, it just broke him. And he looked at this woman and he said, do you want to live? And she said, I do. And then he anointed her and said, in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus, he began to declare over her. He said, then a spirit of death just followed after that and she died. And then he grabbed her. This is what Smith Wigglesworth used to do. He used to pick them up. And he grabbed her and he slung her against the wardrobe. I mean, we wouldn't do that, would we, really? Unless the Spirit of God's moving in your life so mightily, but don't do it, please. But slung her against the wardrobe, and he said, in the name of Jesus, spirit of death, come out and walk. And all of a sudden, she come alive and she began to walk. And a doctor came in and asked her about it. He didn't believe it. And she said, it's true. She said, when I died, she said, I saw heaven. He said, I saw countless of people that just looked like Jesus. And then I heard, in the name of Jesus, walk. I mean, there are countless testimonies. That's resurrection power. And Paul desired to know that resurrection power, not just bringing people back from the dead, but bringing people back from the spiritual death, seeing people who are dead in their sins come alive in him, seeing people who are lost and are broken being restored and mended by the resurrection power of Christ. God is about restoring life, bringing life to the dead. And God wants to bring life to you and I. D.L. Moody was asked to conduct a funeral service. So he went to the Bible to look, well, how did Jesus conduct a funeral service? And when he looked, he said, everywhere he went, he said, Jesus just broke up the funeral and caused people to come back to life again. You know, it caused him to realize we have a God of the living. We have a God of the living. That should excite us. That should really excite us. No wonder Paul said in Philippians 3, verse 12, not that I've already attained or already perfected, but I press on that I may lay hold of that which Christ Jesus lay hold of me. Brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended, but one thing I do, I forget those things which are behind me and reach forward to the things which are ahead. I press towards the goal for the prize of the upward call in Christ Jesus. Paul was saying, I'm not going to stop until I lay hold of what Christ lay hold of me. I'm not going to stop. If Christ died for me that I might live, I want to know what that means. And I'm not going to stop. I'm going to continue to press on. He didn't press on for the things of this world any longer. He said he counted that as rubbish. He counted it as dung, the word is. He didn't want that anymore. He wanted nothing of this world. He wanted Christ. He wanted the power of Christ. He wanted to know the fellowship of the sufferings and the power of his resurrection. May that be in our hearts too. Oh Lord, stir us. May our eyes be open to see the resurrection power. May our hearts burn with the resurrection power. May we see the resurrection power working in us and through us in our lives. The church should not be boring. The church is not dead. The church is not dull if Christ is living in his church. And in the name of Jesus, let Christ live in you. Let Christ live in you. Lee and the team, would you come and join us? Let's just bow our heads for a moment. So the Holy Spirit speak to you this morning. Maybe you feel like you've been weeping, you've been living in that place of death. Maybe you're living in a hard place in your life, place of darkness. You're wondering if there's any hope. I want you to begin to hear the words of Jesus. Hear the Spirit of God is calling you out of death into life. And as you hear his word, will you respond? How will you respond? And maybe today you've come and you've heard about Jesus, like the people on the way to Emmaus. You've heard about different things, but you hadn't grasped it. Your eyes haven't been opened. This morning, Jesus, he doesn't want only be a knowledge of him. He doesn't want you only just to believe in him. He wants you to know him. And if you don't know him today, then I want to give the opportunity for us all today, while every head is bowed, just say, Jesus, I desire to know you. Lord, I've known a lot of things in this world. I've known a lot of death in this world. But God, I want to know you and I want to know your life. The Bible says if we turn to him, then times of refreshing has come. And maybe you don't have much faith to turn to him. Maybe you struggle to believe in him. You've tried different things, but God's just saying, just will you willingly turn to me right now? And as you begin that journey of turning to him, he'll begin to make things clear. It may not be all today, but he will begin to shine his light and things will become clear in your life. I just want to give that opportunity. If you want to turn to Jesus, you want to come out of that tomb, a place of death, and you want to know the life-giving power of the resurrection, you say, God, forgive me of all my sins. Forgive me. I want to be clean. I want to know life. I'm just going to ask you just to pray this prayer with me. So, Heavenly Father, thank you for giving Jesus to us in this world. Thank you, Jesus, that you died for me, that you died for us. Thank you, you died for my every sin, my every iniquity, my everything that I've ever done wrong, you died for me. Thank you, Jesus, that you took my place and you took my death. Jesus, please forgive me. Please come and reign and live in me. I turn to you today and I choose to put my trust and my hope in you. I will walk with you and I will follow you. Be my Lord and Savior. I ask this in the name of Jesus and I say thank you in faith that you've heard me today. Amen. For all who received him, he gave right to become children of God. If you're a child of God, you're an heir of God, which means that you're an inheritance of God. That means you inherit the resurrection power of Christ. So believe Jesus is alive. But more so, believe he's alive in you. Jesus, you're alive in me. And maybe some of us, we've got to strip off those things, those wrappings of death, things of this world that have been wrapped around us. We've got to take that off and begin to put on that garment of righteousness. We've got to cast it aside and put on the armor of light. Cast it aside and put on life, put on righteousness, right living. Jesus, we choose to follow you. God, I must stand. Let's stand together, shall we? Let's rejoice, let's celebrate God. But if you want prayer, if you want to come and surrender your life to Jesus, you want God to do something in your life, then let's pray with you today. Let me pray with you.